pray. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. From the 16th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the 33rd verse, Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As we listened again on this Good Friday evening to St. John's account of the suffering and death of our Savior, St. John's account has been read at the Good Friday liturgy from the time of the Council of Nicaea, 1700 years ago this year. As we listened to it, we heard about the particular incidents and stages in our Lord's way to the cross. One great theme runs through all of this, and indeed through the whole of our Lord's earthly life, from beginning to end. And this one great theme is the overruling providence of God. The overruling providence of God. The divine wisdom, power, and love of our Heavenly Father, who accomplishes his truly loving purpose through the unruly wills and passions of sinful mortals, not depriving sinful human beings of their ability to scheme and to act in cruel and sinful ways, not taking from human beings the power to choose, a power which is the Creator's own gift to his human creatures, not forcing human beings to obey his will. On the contrary, God permits evil men to do their very worst against him. Yet he accomplishes his truly loving purpose, not merely in spite of human rebellion, but through it and by means of it. And what this means is that all the events which seem to be nothing more than victories won by the craftiness and deceitfulness of the devil and by wicked human beings, not only fail to halt the purpose of God, but in fact become in his hands the very instruments through which he carries out his will and advances his truly loving purpose. No opposition can bewilder or defeat him. No situation, no matter how desperate it may seem in our eyes, is beyond his control. No problem can baffle the infinite resources of his wisdom. Such is the overruling providence of God and of his final victory there can be no doubt at all. But in this life, we walk by faith and not by sight. Because the final triumph is not yet. And only too often, the evil powers of this world are terribly and overwhelmingly strong, for, as St. John tells us in the vision he received while exiled on the island of Patmos, the devil has come down in great wrath, knowing that his time is short. Nevertheless, we can sometimes perceive something of the action of God in bringing good out of evil. And that's why in the English-speaking world, we call this sad and solemn day of Jesus bitter suffering and death, Good Friday. Good Friday. Consider this question. What brought Jesus to the cross? What brought Jesus to the cross? Now, if we consider this question from the human point of view, the answer is plain. We see the blind envy, hatred, and malice of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. We see their use of bribery and corruption. We see the betrayal by Judas. We see the false witnesses at the trial. We hear the noise of the deceived and enraged mob. We see the moral cowardice of Pontius Pilate, and we see the carrying out of orders by those hapless Roman soldiers. What brought Jesus to the cross? It was the sins of many human beings which brought him to the cross. This is true, but it's not the whole truth. For behind and beneath all this human evil and folly is the providence of God, the love of God the Father, working out his plan for our salvation by the cruel death of his Son. There is also the Son's perfect obedience to his heavenly Father's will, his deliberate acceptance of this agony and death for our sake. As he himself said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." The Lord Jesus was a victim, but he was a willing victim. For we see in him not only a victim of unspeakable hatred and cruelty, the evil will of the devil and sinful man. We also see in him the supreme gift of the Heavenly Father for our salvation. We see in Jesus a sacrifice prepared before the foundation of the world. We see the wisdom and the love of God using this most unspeakable evil for the accomplishment of his truly loving purpose. We see the overruling providence of God making all things work together for good for those who love him. And so, as the psalmist says, we must say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And it is in this light that we must see this present world with all its misery and cruelty. In the light of Calvary's cross, we know that even now, it is God who governs the tortured path of the human story, who is able to direct the course of human history. Using for his truly loving purpose even the unruly wills and passions of sinful mortals. In all these terrible things, there is nevertheless the overruling providence of God who gave his only Son to die for us, thereby making us certain that there is nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. So let me then conclude this Good Friday meditation with words spoken by Jesus in the upper room already on the night before he suffered. Jesus said to his disciples, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And to him be glory together with the Father and the all holy and life-giving Spirit, one God, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.